After the first little chat, they hadn't talked too much during the day. The diviner seemed cautious of flaunting his magic around the crew, despite being almost cavalier near danger. At night, though, by the side of the caravan, they would hold long, illusory talks. She learned much of the Quith and their lands, their lifestyles. Their illusion words were a simple trick to address the difficulties of more standard language. He said they had a spoken tongue, but her language was too throaty and gurgling, which, compared to his soft whistles, she was willing to concede. They were part of the Lost Islands, a massive chain of shattered lands, requiring a long ride by ship. Distant from both of the main continents, the strange place had only come to the attention of the Bossarine captains in the past century. Add in the Deathwake season, both by Bossuri and down the coast, and then the brutal storms, there had been little opportunity to make the trek. None in her order had ever gone, the ruins closer to home being far more profitable. Only the most curious had bothered to form up an expedition. Interesting that the diviner hailed from there. She had been under the impression that they were from the south of Kelmira, a small species in the deep jungle. He'd quickly clarified how that was only an outpost for the larger band and what he simply called home, all capital block letters, period. Beyond those details, he hadn't shared too much, nothing of depth. Simply that the families that ran the place were branching out, looking for trade. Seemed a curious, dangerous place, especially after the ominous-sounding event he called The Return, also all capital, block letters, period. What that had been was a complete unknown, and he wouldn't speak on it, but in his references to it, it seemed some sort of calamity. He also spun nests of spider silk. Of all her boredom activities, watching that had been her favorite so far. Seeing him slowly disassemble cobwebs and carefully piece them back together, eventually building a little half-crescent of gray, was oddly hypnotic. There was something about the combination of deftness and purpose that appealed to the mind. And it was adorable. Not that she would tell him that. He seemed, if anything, slightly gruff, not likely to take to being called cute. Beyond the endearing, he had only given her the basics of his world, his life, but the place was fascinating. Thousands of islands scattered in a shallow sea, almost like a third half-sunken continent, filled with tiny magical bird folk. And ancients, if he was to be believed. He claimed there were a number from the old races, elves, orcs, humans, and the like, somehow alive there. How they would have avoided the slaughter, the war, she couldn't say, but it was intriguing, especially with how sure he was that they were not Othersiders. She'd suggested that a few times, but he was resolute, noting they had confirmed through many magical means. That had been enough for her to concede the point, though it went against everything the Bossarine had learned of the past. Not that she was really attached to that history. More she was curious how they could have avoided that fate. He had also asked about her own land, and role in it, to which she had given him as good an explanation as she could. The tribes coming together, the forming of the city, the slow understanding of the previous world. But history had never been her strong suit, and she found she had about as many questions regarding her kin's past as he did. The Delves, though, those she could tell him about in detail. His fascination was mostly with the magic used, and the relics recovered, though she could tell he was disappointed with her responses. All of it was something outside of her area of expertise. She cared about what was useful, but didn't dwell on the rest. Let Nistre and her ilk figure out what something did, where to find it. Her specialty was retrieving it. With languid discussions of adventures and travels, blending into more focused debates on the nature of the past, there was one topic they did not touch: where they were headed. She had gently pushed towards the subject, but the Quith quickly implied he had little knowledge of the trip, beyond the object they were seeking. Talking was to be her job, and getting them there. Firmly of the opinion that Lyrstra and its various citizenry had no idea the Quith existed, Wur seemed reluctant to discuss any duties beyond glorified navigator. Teasing out why he thought that, from what they were doing, she tried to raise how the MMM had requested his services. His response had been even more terse, simply stating, "They pay, all caps, blocks, period." Which, she supposed, was as much a reason as she had. After, though, he had gone quiet, brooding, suggesting both that there was more to the story, and that he trusted them about as much as she did. New oddity of the trip, finding that the inscrutable diviners, mistrusted amongst Bossarine for seeking secrets of both past and future, were more trustworthy than those they contracted with. Divination was the purview of the keepers and the captains, and then they used it mostly to predict the weather and the various seasonal hazards like the Deathwake. They might occasionally look into events of huge magnitude that threatened Bossuri, but kept out of fate's way the rest of the time. This philosophy was not shared by the Quith. The little hummingbirds seemed almost casual in their dipping into the potential futures. She'd seen Wur chirp and whistle through a number of assessments, seeking in each, he claimed, information about their sea voyage. None had apparently warranted alerting the crew, which made it feel all the more bizarre, as though reading the portents was as simple as walking up on the deck and looking out over the horizon, and with as little risk. She didn't understand her species' aversion to dabbling in fate magic, but they seemed to suggest there was a risk. What, she didn't know, but Bossarine were nothing if not practical, at least in her mind, and such caution meant there had to be a good reason for it. Perhaps, if he kept up this ritualistic casting, she'd find out why. This has been Coursing of the Fatal Neutrinos in the Kelmira Saga. Thank you for listening. I hope your day's a bit more surreal for it. We're a little bit behind again, but we'll catch up. I hope everyone's doing all right in this strange, confusing, and complicated time. This is Easton, and though I'm as much a work of fiction as anything you hear, I'm really glad you're listening.